Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, prepare me to be your
shoulder and see where God brought you from and say, Lord, you've been good to me. This is what you ought to do.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Lord, you've been good to me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A living sanctuary, holy, clean. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hello, sisters and brothers and sisters. This is I, Evangelist Von Dumas. We're on day 19 of the 30-Day Believer's New Bible Study. We're at Holy and Clean. Holy and Clean. Have you, my sister, ever wondered what it means to be holy? Hallelujah. What it actually means to be holy. Someone may be keep continuing to say that to you, but what does it really mean to be holy? What does it really mean to be clean before the Lord? Have you ever wondered how you could ever be considered holy? Hallelujah. We're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to talk about getting holy, getting clean with the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have a caller on the 602 area code. God bless you. I thank you. If you want to talk, just let us know. God bless you. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you are doing for us, through us, around us. Dear Father, we thank you for tonight's message. We thank you that we have come as open vessels, and we ask that you just anoint us and fill us up with your word, dear Father. Dear Father, move us out of our situations and take us closer into you, dear Father. Your presence is where we want to be. May I decrease that your word may increase, dear Father. Use my body as your vessel to speak to your creations all over the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, a living sanctuary. It says, I worship you, Almighty God. Let's just take a few moments and get into our praise and worship. We will come back with our scripture. We have another song, and then we will go to the word. Let's start with, I worship you, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Look around you right now. All day today, somebody, something has tried to get your anointing from you today. Something has tried to get you, persuade you, encourage you to worship them, worship the situation, whether your job or your spouse, something in someone. But right now, we get the opportunity to just lay it all down and just worship the Lord. Lord, I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is none like you. Do you worship God today? Hallelujah. I just love being in the presence of the Lord. I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before our scripture, we're just going to give the opportunity for the caller if you have anything that you want to say. This is your time. You're under no pressure at all. God bless you. God bless you. We thank you for being a part.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We ask that you just open up your heart
and
open up your mind. And just keep yourself open for the Lord to just use you. And thank you, Jesus, for any situation that you have. Dear Father, God is here and he is ready to do exceedingly and abundantly to open up and to fill you with the Holy Spirit and what you need today. We're going to be reading for our scripture today in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, starting at 1, the man with leprosy. Matthew, New Testament, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Hallelujah. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What did our Jesus do? It says Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. Hallelujah. Verse 3 again, it said, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. Again, it's Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3. I just invite each and every one of us right now to just read as we go back through this time. Put your situation in it. Put your calling, whatever it is, put it in. Your loved one's ailment, let's put it there. Hallelujah. A man, a woman, with whatever the situation is, as you come before God and kneel before him, as you say, Lord, are you willing? I know you can make me clean. I know you can heal my body. I know you can restore my marriage. I know that you are a provider for the things, dear Father, that is not being provided right now in my life. I know you are the giver of life for the one who is trying to have that child. I know that you are the one who can provide that position. I know that you are the one that promotes me in those positions. I know that you are able. Hallelujah. I know that you're able. Now just imagine Jesus himself reaching out his hand towards you, towards your situation right now. And he's saying to you, my sister, my brother, I am willing. He's telling you, be healed. He's telling you, be cleaned. He's telling you to get the spirit of expectancy. It's on your way. It's on your way. Receive it right now. And immediately, your situation is changing. Whether you see the manifestation of it now, immediately, your situation has changed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Being clean and holy, being clean and holy. Have you ever wondered what it means to be holy? Have you ever wondered how you could ever be considered holy? Holiness is one of those intimidating religious words that we always hear but generally don't understand. Holiness means set apart. Holiness means sinless. Holiness means perfection. God is holy. We are not. But God is holy. See, God loves us despite our dirty, sin-soiled clothes. He wears his holiness like a dazzling, spotless white robe. And these verses encourage us to purify ourselves so that we can be holy just as God intended us to be. Let's take a look at some of those verses. We're going to start with Leviticus, Leviticus 11 and 45. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because he is holy. God is holy. I thank God that regardless of who it is, someone was telling me, well, you know, Buddha was close to being righteous, and they was laying down different examples and things that they said that Buddha had done and should have done, and why they worship him. But Buddha, my friend, was not holy. Hallelujah. Buddha is not holy. Buddha is dead and gone. But I thank God that we serve a live and a living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So holiness, again, means set apart, sinless, perfect. We are not holy, but God is holy. We serve a holy God. So we're the Leviticus 11, and let's just start with 45. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 45 reads, I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. Let's go to Ephesians, New Testament. So we left the Old Testament. We're going to go to the New Testament now. Ephesians, and we're going to do chapter 1. Verses 4 through 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. I have a sister here with me, so she's, I'm waiting on you. Take your time. There you go. Got it? All right. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1, we're going to start at 4 and go through 6. Verse 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glory, of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Being holy. Being holy, just as he is holy. Hallelujah. He said, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. He had already chosen for us to what? Be holy, be blameless in his sight, in love. That was his plan for us, even before the creation of the world. Hallelujah. Before the creation of the world, he already intended for you to live a blameless and a holy life. So when you stand before the Lord and you start talking about woe is me and I'm just trying my best and, you know, I'm just a sinner living here in a sinful world, he says, no, that before the creation of the world, I already had in my plans for you, my brother, you right there, my sister, to be holy, live a holy life, to be blameless, live a blameless life. He gives you the tools. Why aren't we using those tools? So when we put excuses on why we can't move ourselves out of the way and we're living with our flesh in dictatorship of our life, our flesh determines what we're going to eat. Our flesh determines when we're going to eat. Our flesh determines who we're going to marry, what we're going to do. Our flesh is dictating our life. We're out of the will of God. The word tells us here that is not his plans. So the next time that flesh is ruling and you really take a serious look at yourself and you want to put some word on your flesh, remember Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. 4 through 6. And just It tells you, for he chose us in him. In him. I think that's where we get so confused from time to time. We get so caught up of living in the world. We get so caught up of living like we see everybody else live. We get so caught up of doing the things that we see around us. We get so caught up into our TVs and our radios, and we hear the things that's going on in the world, and we see the things that they're doing on shows, and we begin to pattern after that. But the word said that for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. So God is watching you, your eyes, you are in his eyesight. Hallelujah. You're in his eyesight. So the next time that your brother or someone tries to entice you to go do something outside of the will of God, and they remind you, you know you're just human, remind them that you live not by your flesh. Your flesh is not dictating your life. Remind them of Ephesians 1 and 4, that God chose you to in him. Not in the world, but in him before the creation of the world. And he chose you to be holy. He chose you to be blameless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have got to remember holiness is set apart. We've got to choose to set ourselves apart. We have to choose to discipline our flesh. We have to daily choose to be holy, to be clean, to be blameless. So now we have an idea of what it means to be holy. Hallelujah. Set apart, sinless. God is holy. We're not. Hallelujah. So now, as we read through our next scripture here, it's going to be 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. We're still in the New Testament. We're just going to go back to the left, okay? We were in Ephesians, so we're going to go left, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll just read verse 1 unless the Holy Spirit says otherwise, okay? Hallelujah. 7 and 1 says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify, that's that word, purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot. First of all, our flesh don't like to hear the word purifying. In a refinery, if you're going to get gold, you got to purify it. It means it must go through the fire, and that's the part that our flesh has difficulty with, going through the fire. But it's to be purged, to be purified. Hallelujah. So the word tells us that since we have the promises of God, let us purify ourselves from everything, everything and everyone, from everything that contaminates our body. Because if it contaminates our body, it contaminates our spirit. All right? Perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now, we were speaking a little earlier about speaking the word and telling someone that we're a Christian, but not discipline ourselves to live a Christian life. See, until we actually set the specific goals, from the specific goals, then we take those and make a plan to keep those goals. Our example was set a specific time that you're actually going to be in the Word, face to face with the Word. Hallelujah. And then you're going to take time, when you set the specific goal, you're going to take time to actually make a plan of when am I going to go in before the Lord? When am I going before the Lord, me and God, just so I can hear from God? You got to set a plan, a time. It's got to be achievable. It can't be somewhere around the time that you know your child is going to come in for homework questions. Your spouse is going to be requiring dinner at this time. You've got to set the goal, make a plan to keep that goal, and then do it. Hallelujah. And then do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we have to encourage ourselves because of the flesh to purify ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We see your power of forgiveness. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you for the guest. 7649 was on the previous show also. God bless you both. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So now that we have our 2 Corinthians 7:1, remember we come with our sword, we come with our pen and paper, because what we have now, we're going to have to put it into our hearts. We need to write it in our spirit so that it can talk back. When flesh starts talking to you, when flesh, and not if, but when, flesh starts telling you to go back into the old pattern. Yeah, your body's hurting. Go back to being mournful. Go back to just giving in to it. Go back to doing what it is. Instead of standing up and moving forward, instead of standing up and saying, if I'm sick, I'm healed. My body is healed through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Instead of setting ourselves apart, the next time that the friend calls, because they will call you to go back out to the party or come back over here to this married man's place, whatever it is, you got to be prepared to set yourself aside, purify yourself, sanctify yourself, moving yourself out of the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we purify ourselves from anything or anyone that contaminates our body, 1 Corinthians 7:1 tells us. Sometimes that can be hard because we get hooked up, especially in the church, we get hooked up on titles. And so we get hooked up on the titles, and that person can lead us into places that we should not be. I was reading something today, and it was talking about inside of the different churches of how many people now are coming forth talking about how they have had different adultery affairs inside of the churches and how it's always been covered up to protect the name of the church. But it started because they put their trust so deep into a title, into a man, into a woman, that they knew that it was wrong. But because it was this person, because it was that person, then they felt like, let's just go ahead and let's just do it. I will do it because it's this person. But it was not of God. Hallelujah. It was not of God. So we thank God for his word. He says here that anything and everything that contaminates the body and the spirit moves you away from his holiness. So if we want to be holy and clean, we then got to follow only the word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, I don't care who it is that's teaching it, preaching it, prophesying a proper line, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it's contaminating our spirit, our body, if we actually endeavor into those. Amen? Amen. You know, we can't just fall for anything. You got to believe that you believe, and when you know that you know, that's why it's so important to take that time to be alone with God so you can know his voice. He said, my sheep, that is us, will know my voice. You got to learn the voice of the shepherd. If you ever see any sheep in the pasture, it can be many of them. You can go and stand right beside the shepherd. You can get his voice quality down. You can actually try to call the sheep and get their attention in the same wording that the shepherd does. But those sheep will not budge. They won't stop eating. They won't stop walking. They will stay exactly where they are until they hear their shepherd calling them, until they hear that signal from their shepherd. Why? Because the sheep knows the voice of that shepherd. Well, just the same with us as the sheep. There's many who's going to try to pretend to be our shepherds. They're going to try to throw their voice and make it sound as though or look like they're the one, our shepherd, but If we are not in constant relationship with our shepherd, we can be misled. Hallelujah. We can be misled. But when we're in that relationship with the Lord, oh, hallelujah, you know your shepherd's voice. Hallelujah. And in the midst of your trouble, your shepherd is the one who is able to just call you out of that pit before you step off in there, to get you out of that relationship that you've been knowing that you was not supposed to be in. Hallelujah. From falling behind that wrong person just because of the title or just because of what someone has said. Holiness of hell. That's right. Hallelujah. She says holiness of hell. You just got to make up your mind. Make up your mind this day who you're going to serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Power of forgiveness says you have to learn to live right for God. You have to learn to live right. That's what we was just talking about when we were saying becoming like Jesus. It's a sanctification period. It's a period of you learning each day, growing to becoming more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And through that process, He will give you the deliverance. He will lead you. His light, his word will be that light to your footsteps. Hallelujah. He will teach you to build your house on the rocks. Hallelujah. Because we know the water, the rain will come and the streams will rise and the winds will blow up against your house. I don't care who you are, what your situation is. You can just have won the lottery, but you can believe it. The word said it, so if you believe any of the word, believe all of the word. And the word said that the rains will fall, even in your life. Mr. Lottery winner, even in your life, when you think you got it going on now, that you finally got the mate that you've been waiting for, the rain still will fall in your life. Hallelujah. And it said, even you, even me, each and every one of us, the winds will blow. The only thing is, some will stand firm and some will fall. Who are you? Where are you at in your situation? How will you deal with it? Holiness or hell? Because when it blows up against your house, it'll make you want to give up. Satan will tell you to just take yourself out. No one loves you. You're not no one, and you're not even noticed in this world. If you're not standing firm, if you don't have your house built on the rock, your mind will turn against you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the word. Hallelujah. So we stand again learning and remember our verses because we want to keep them near our hearts. Hallelujah. God intends for us to grow in him. God intends for us to purify ourselves so that we can be holy just as he intended his plans for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us look at ourselves or we look at others. We're good at looking at others before we look at ourselves, and we see the big stain on their life. We see the thing that is keeping them from being clean. We can see the big black spot on their collar. We may say that look at the lust in their eyes. Look at the unforgiveness that they're living. Look at the adulterous life that they're living. Look at the homosexual lifestyle that they're living. Hallelujah. But don't forget that smear that you have on your own life. Don't forget the jealousy that you can't get over. Hallelujah. Don't forget that you have streaks on your cuff, streaks on your lapel. You have issues with pride, or you have issues with dishonesty. Hallelujah. Because when we stand before God, we stand before God trying to think that we're all holy, that we have it all together, that we're holier than thou, even because somebody put us on a pedestal and told us you got it all together. What an eyesore we are next to God's his purity. We have to come with being humble asking God to deliver us from our dirtiness, from our sins, to help us and give us strength where we're weak. This is not something that we can achieve just by getting education, or we can achieve just because the community now accepts you. Hallelujah. But it's all in the Word of God. It's all in asking God. It's all in communication with God. It's all in His Word, in His direction. It's all in His promises. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We can wear holiness too. We don't wear our own. We wear Christ's holiness. See, we are covered in His holiness. Once we've been cleansed, white as snow, we can stand next to God in pure, holy garments. And we all will stand before God one day, individually. No one can take your turn for you individually. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 tells us, "But be holy in all that you do, just as God, the one who called you, is holy. It is written in the scriptures, you must be holy because what? I am holy. You must be holy because I am holy." Hallelujah. So there's no way around it. We can try, but yeah, okay, I go do this and I go do that, but that doesn't separate me from God. It doesn't separate me, as sister told me, because I'm still in this lifestyle that you may say that it's not right. It's not about what I say. I don't have a heaven to send you to. I don't have a hell to put you in. But the Word of God says you must purify yourself to line up with His Word. Hallelujah. We must learn to win the war that is within us. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4, it tells us, "For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. Since for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down our strongholds." Paul was very clear in this verse that believers are in the midst of war, whether you realize it or not. But in this war, we don't use natural means of fighting because we're not warring against flesh and blood. So that person that you're seeing, yes, it's not that. It's not the flesh and blood that you're at war against. In other words, we don't pick up swords. We don't pick up spears. We don't pick up guns. However, we do have weapons. See, one weapon is the Word of God. Another is the anointing of God. Paul again says that our weapons aren't carnal, or our weapons aren't natural weapons. That's what he means when he says carnal. See, our weapons are actual spiritual, and they are mighty through God. Through what? Through God. Not through our anger, not through us taking it on through ourselves. Hallelujah. Not through us just going back and forth to our sisters and our brothers, and we get together and whatever we think is best we do. But it says that our weapons are spiritual. Now that we have the spiritual weapon, we got to use it through God. They are only mighty through God. If we are in war and we have weapons of war, then we must have an enemy. And our enemy wants to keep us from being holy. And our enemy wants to keep us from being clean. And our enemy must have weapons of his own. So we can't stand against the enemy on our own. Be assured that our enemy is going to do anything and everything in his power to destroy us with his weapons. Oh, God has given you the ability to triumph over every situation. But Satan is going to come and attack you, okay? Not when, he is. You may have already become very familiar with his attacks. And you may have already become very familiar of how to overcome each attack. God has the answers. And you use the spiritual weapons through the power of God each and every time, my sisters and brothers. Oh, do not bend and do not bow. Satan knows that if he allows you to follow God without interceding, intercepting you, without trying to impede your progress or stop your progress, he knows eventually you will do everything that God has called you to do. He knows that if he can't stop you, you will finish. You'll get to the finish line. He knows that he will lose big time. So the Bible, therefore, teaches you to put on the whole armor of God so that you can, what, defeat Satan when he attacks you. Not if he attacks you, but when he attacks you. Because when you're in a war, my sister, when you're in a war, my brother, it's wise to have knowledge about your enemy's weapon so you can prepare appropriately. It's not good to step out in the midst of battle without a clue as to what the enemy is going to do against you. See, the principle applies to believers as well. We have to put this to us too. Many Christians have struggled and lived on the same level year after year, unable to beat some area in their life because they don't understand the weapon Satan is using against them. Hallelujah. No matter what your areas are, the battleground that you must win is all in your mind. You may not become an expert right away in dealing with this, but if you keep working at it, hallelujah, you will be vigilant, sober, alert when Satan comes to bring something your way. You won't let anything through. God's weapons are stronger than Satan's weapons, my sister. Oh, my brother, I don't care what you feel like right now. God's word is stronger than Satan's thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. He doesn't want you to be holy. He doesn't want you to be clean. But the weapon that God has given you, right in the midst of your situation, I don't care how bad it may look right now, God has given you weapons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has prepared you. God has given you weapons right now in the midst of your turmoil, in the midst of your situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God has prepared you and given you weapons. And the weapon that God has given you, his word. His word is stronger than any weapon that Satan has. And when Satan brings thoughts against your life, you need to recognize that that's not of God. You need to cast those thoughts down and replace them with the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. Cast those cares down. Cast those thoughts from your mind and stand against them, saying, this is not of God. Remember, those is just the winds blowing up against your house. What are you going to do? You're going to stand firm or you're going to fall? Hallelujah. You need to cast those thoughts down. And it's just not good enough to cast them down, but now you need to replace them. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. That's why it's important to replace them with the spoken word of God. This worked every time for Jesus, and it'll work every time for you. Trouble cannot defeat you. The only thing that can stop you is you. If you allow Satan to cause you to lose the war within, then you will be defeated. But I need you to remember that the only thing that can stop you is you. Remember, you are at war. As Christians, there are some things that you can be sure of. Battle will come. The enemy will try to take you out. People will come against you, and life as a Christian will not always be easy. There's simply no denying that spiritual warfare is real and present. You will hear, and I have heard, different pastors and leaders, and they will stand and they will tell you, once you have become a Christian, your salvation will keep you safe. And all life now is going to be flowers and dandelions and everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. But it just takes you just a little bit to figure out the some part, that's not right. Something's not right about it, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It just takes you just a little bit. You don't have to be on a Christian walk for a long period of time to figure out that even though that you're saved, your salvation now is secure. But there is no denying that you're still in a war. You're in a spiritual war. And that war is real. That war is present. That war will try to attack your body. That war will try to attack your mind, try to attack your family. Just when you get yourself built up and say, I'm ready and I know the enemy's attacks and I'm ready for him, I'm armored, he'll hit your family. He'll get you in another way. He'll get your job. He'll get you in your finances. Hallelujah. He'll get you in your relationship. He'll come in another way. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could get a witness right here. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. But God is still God, a sovereign God, a God that will do anything, can do all things but fail. He's already gave you the tools. He's gave you the Bible. He's gave you the Holy Spirit for your guide. He's gave you your companion, which is the church. However, you can find encouragement in the fact that you will get through it. Whatever it is, you will get through it. It's one thing to be at war and not know how the outcome is going to be. Oh, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the answers. Victory. Victory. He says, let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. Take your time and take your stand. Let the weak say, I am strong. You may be crying through tears. Oh, but let the sick say, I am healed. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be going through mourning, have lost a loved one. Let the ones that are even mournful say, I am comfort. God is my comfort. Even when I don't understand the things that are going on, I believe in my God, and I believe in his word, and I know that I can find comfort in him, and I know that whatever it is, he works outside of me for the best of me, and he would take all things and turn them around to work for the good of those that love the Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's find our encouragement. And the fact that we can get through these situations. Let's find our encouragement in the fact that God will send somebody in the midst of your storm just to give you a word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We know the outcome of the war. Yeah, we know we're at war. We know the outcome. So how awesome it is to know that we have the victory in God. We have the victory in God. Even when it seems impossible, ultimately, we win. Hallelujah. Remember, it is spiritual. We have spiritual weapons that are powerful in God. There's a scripture that I absolutely love because it seems to sum it all up for me. 2 Corinthians 4. I think 8 and 9, it says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes it feels like every side. You can't turn to the left because it's coming at you from the right. You turn to the back and it's hitting you from the front. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yet not crushed. He says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4 through 8 and 9. Let's just check out another translation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 8 and 9. And again, it reads, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be revealed where? In our bodies. 11 says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Life is at work with us. God has died. Jesus gave his life. Hallelujah. That even the stench of death has been removed from us. So even though you may be feeling forsaken, you're not forsaken. God said he would never forsake you. Hallelujah. You may be feeling like that you're in despair. You're just perplexed. God would never leave despair upon you. Satan may have struck you down, but you're not destroyed. Hallelujah. You may say, I didn't get the position that I wanted, but you still have a job. Hallelujah. You said, my husband came back from the war with body, with limbs missing, but your husband's still alive. You said, my child is still living a life of not in the Lord, but your child still has the opportunity. You still have your child with you. Somebody's child died doing the same thing that your child is doing now. Oh, good God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. Keep it with you. See, when I find myself in the midst of spiritual warfare, I go straight to God's word. Sometimes I come in and I'll be at work and I have different things that just hit me, and I get prayer requests even at my job, and I'll pick up my phone and somebody will have something, or I'll be in the midst of a moment right then and there, and they need prayer right then and there. And I have to get up and go to a private place. Sometimes I just sit at my desk and pray with them. But sometimes I just have to get up and go to a private place and just give it over to the Lord and just cry out to the Lord on their behalf. Run to the God's word. Run to God's word. Oh, sometimes I just come in and I just like, it's just like I'm starving. I will be on 8 God's word and got filled with it. I keep the word right at my desk. I keep the word in my purse. I keep the word in my car. I keep the word in my home because I need to eat. I need to eat and taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, and sometimes the enemy pulls on you. He pulls your strength from here, from the right and from the left. And I just, I just run in my house just, whoa, I need to be in the word. Whoa, I need to be with you, Lord. Oh, let me cover myself. Lord, just talk to me, Jesus. What do you have to say? God, I need to hear from you. God, I need your strength. Sometimes nothing has really went on. I just long to be in his presence. I just long to be near him. I just long for him to just hold me, for him to wrap his arms around me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We see you there, WTPN Media. God bless you. God bless you. May all your needs be provided. So when I find myself in the midst of spiritual warfare, I go straight to God's word. This is a good time to have some scripture hidden in your heart. That's why we go by the scripture, because, again, this is not Evangelist Vaughn's word. This is the word of God. This is a word that you can stand on. This is a word that's going to be that determining point whether you fall or you stand. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your word. That's why you need the scripture in your heart. It's true. You must put on the whole armor of God. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So again, Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, putting on the whole armor of God. In Psalms 46 and 1, it tells us that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Brother, are you in trouble right now? You need the help, a very present help. That's what God is. God is a very present help in trouble. Psalms 46 and 1. And you read that back. You just tell him, God, you said that you are our refuge. You said that you're my strength. You said that you are very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. Romans 8 and 31 said, if God is for us, then who can be against us? You have to repeat that back to your situation. When your flesh is giving in and wanting to just tell you give up, you have to repeat that to your situation. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who? Who can be against us? Hallelujah. Isaiah 43:2-3 says, I have called you by my name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, all sisters and brothers, I know it feels like you're drowning, but it said you're passing through. It says when you pass through the waters, who's there with you? God said, I will be with you. See, I don't care if mommy and daddy is there. I don't care if your husband or your wife is there. I don't care if your sister or your brother is there. But the most important person, God said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. They may come up close. They feel like they're getting ready to choke you out, but just stand on the word. As you're becoming holy, as you're becoming clean, stand on the word. It said they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through that fire, my sister, you shall not be burned, nor sure shall the flames scorch you. Hallelujah. See, you can fight me. You can talk about me. You can run my name through the mud. You can't hurt me. You can betray me. You can deny me. You can mistreat me. You can take everything that I own. You can destroy me. You can plot against me. You can misuse me. You can lie on me and scandalize my name. You can try to kill me. And even if through human eyes it appears that I've been conquered, through human eyes, I can continue to stand firm on what God says. Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Yes, you may appear to win a battle here and there, but the war, you can't win. Isaiah 54 and 17 tells me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So you can't win. Hallelujah. You may see me cry. You may see me stagger. You may see me fall. But as long as I continue to stand in the word, I will continue to get up again. Get back up again, sisters. Get back up again, my brothers. Do not bend. Do not bile. I know many around you are doing all of the wrong things. I know that everybody around you is living the life outside of where what it should be. I know everybody right now is shacking up. I know everybody right now is trying out. They're testing out the partners before they actually get married to them. Hallelujah. I know it looks like on your job everybody else is getting promoted around you. Hallelujah. I know that it looks like that no one can see the effort that you're doing. But God is still with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are a spiritual soldier. You do have the full armor of God on. Hallelujah. You do have a weapon, a spiritual weapon. Hallelujah. And it's powerful through God. Hallelujah. We can wear holiness too. We don't wear our own, we wear Christ's. We're covered in his holiness. Once we have been cleansed white as snow, then we will stand next to God in pure, holy garments. Again, 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, but be holy in all you do, just as God, the one who called you, is holy. I know it seems like that you're the only one on your job that's a Christian. Why are you praying for God to move you? He wants you to do something there. You're there for a reason. So don't bend and start to do the things that they're doing. Don't bow down to the gods that they're serving, but be holy in all you do, just as God, the one who called you, is holy. Because it's written in Scripture that you must be holy because I am holy, he says. Hallelujah. And what will happen when you see Jesus? You will see unblemished purity, unblending strength, unbendable strength. You will feel his unending presence, and you're going to know his unbridled protection. And all that he is, you will be. For you will be like Jesus. For you will be like Jesus. One of the realities we all come to is that sometimes we're in the right fight, but with the wrong people. We're trying to become holy. We're trying to become clean. And we're fighting against the enemy. But we may be in the right fight, but with the wrong people. We believe we're really at odds with a coworker or another church member or even the person that we're in a relationship with. But when we come to the realization that it's not the individual that we struggle against, but the spirit that is controlling them, we can shift our approach. Stop fighting against that individual. It's not the flesh and blood. We need to shift our approach sometimes. See, when we focus on being the person, then we fight them in the flesh where we can never have victory because the enemy is masterful at things at the flesh. It's an uneven match. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. And that's what you do when you think you'll give that person back what they are given to you. I'm going to do exactly what it is that they did to them. You're bringing a knife to a gunfight. But when you understand that you're dealing with the rulers of darkness that is strategic in their assignment to destroy you, their assignment is to kill you, then you have to know what weapon to fight with. What weapon to protect yourself with? The fact that they rule in darkness indicates that they cannot handle what? The light. Hallelujah. And the light is what? The word of God. Oh, let's say it again. The fact that they rule in darkness. They rule in darkness. They're powerful in darkness. It indicates that they cannot handle the light. And the light is the word of God. Which is why Psalms 119:105 says, the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Hallelujah. So know which weapon you're bringing to the fight. When the scripture acknowledges that there is a wickedness in high places, they tell you that the enemy does have power. So it would be unwise to believe that you can face such a foe on your own strength. Your strength will come from the word of God, and he prepares us for being spiritual soldiers. God clearly directs us on how to protect ourselves. Yet rather than put on the belt of truth, many of us are just spiritually sagging. You know, we look around and we see people walking around. I can't say young people, because I see old people sagging too. But we see people sagging. That's the way some of us are as Christians. We don't put on our belt of truth. We just prefer to sag. So you can't be prepared to defend yourself from the world when everything about you reflects the world. Oh, hallelujah. You can't be prepared to defend yourself from the world when everything about you reflects the world. And as we guard our chest, we're really being protective of what is placed in our hearts. For there we find the seat of our conduct. Our conduct and our whole character comes from our heart. And character is just simply what you will do when you believe no one is watching. That's your character. Not when Evangelist Vaughn is at your doorstep. I go around and I give sacrament to different people who are in their home and can't get out or for whatever reason. They're on my list, and we go steady, and we do it on a list, and more added. I go to the nursing homes. We go different places. And it's really something what I have heard when I knock at the door and someone forget that it was my night to come. But as soon as they see it's me, then their character changes. Hallelujah. Or I got a phone call, and I wasn't familiar with what the number was, but I get prayer requests on this line, and I picked it up, and it was so much cursing in the background. And then they hung up. And then they called me right back, and they said the same number. And they called me now. The character had changed totally. They said I didn't know whose number it was that I had accidentally dialed. But now that they find out it was me, the character had totally changed. So your character is simply what you would do when you believe no one is watching. Then he tells us that our feet should be fitted in Christian cleats so we can hold our ground despite the element that seeks to make us lose our footing. And that shield of defense against the advances of others is surely made from the promises of God. See, the enemy is relentless. And if he can defeat us on the battleground of our mind, on the battleground of our flesh, our minds will get all warped up and our flesh will just follow easily. But we must be clear that the fight is not physical. As I close tonight, I remind you again that it's not against the person that's in front of you. It's one of the spirits. And in that, we have the confidence that we have already been given victory. But we can delay or forfeit the promised end when we do not rely on God's strength. We delay the end that is promised to us, the victorious end that is promised to us, when we do not rely on the strength of God. We've all been prepared. We have all been prepared for these ceaseless battles as a spiritual soldier. We should be tireless in working towards hearing, "Well done." Don't you want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? I'm not going to give up. I want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to hear the words. So be strong, my sister. Be strong, my brother. Hang in there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hang in there. Be strong. Don't give up. Don't give up. God has a word for you. He's given you the way to become holy, to become clean. For a more in-depth study, I ask you to read 2 Timothy 2:21 and 22. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In my personal applications, as you do your personal one-on-one inventory with yourself, what sins have stained your soul that's keeping keeping you from being holy. Like no one else knows, but just you. I'm not asking you to email them to me. But when you stand before yourself and you do that self-examination, ask yourself, come clean with yourself. What's keeping me from being holy and clean? What sins have stained your soul? Hallelujah. How can you be more holy today just as God is holy? How can you be more holy today just as God is holy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. God is able to clean you up. Hallelujah. God is able to do the things that you're waiting to be done. So let the sick say, I am well. Let the weak say, I am strong. You need someone to go into agreement with you. Hallelujah. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I receive loads of emails for prayer requests, and I thank you. I love you. When you reach out and you ask for a Bible to be sent to you or other tracts or something else, some of you just ask for me to send you tracts to help you minister to someone else. Hallelujah. I enjoy that. I pay the postage. Anything to help the kingdom, to bring you into agreements with the word, to set some sinless soul free and get us in the bound so the word can be their light and their lamp. Walk with me, God, at AOL.com. You can reach me at 210-264-5287 or 210-277-0495. You could always leave a message for me here on the Blog Talk Radio at Evangelist Von Dumas. Hallelujah. I move around. For you in the North Carolina area, it is Durham, North Carolina. This will be my first trip to that area. I've never been into North Carolina. I will be in Durham, North Carolina on October 9th and October 10th. Hallelujah. Look forward to having a wonderful, blessed time there. Hallelujah. We also remind you, for the date, it's going to be in Colorado, it is going to be in April of 2010, but in December of 2009, December 11th and 12th, I think it is, we're going to be in Orlando, Florida, the Lookout, Florida. We look forward to coming back to Florida. So God bless you. He is just doing things. He's just making ways, and he wants to use you as a living vessel. He wants you to be a living sacrifice. He wants you to be a sanctuary. Your body, your temple to be somewhere as a clean sanctuary, tried and true. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving. On tomorrow, we will be doing day 20, getting to know a new friend. Have you ever wondered how to get to know God? Day 20. We're going to tomorrow, at least the rest of the week and the weekend, we will be doing a show every night, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. And we will hopefully by next weekend wrap up the 30-day New Believers Bible Study. We enjoy you. Remember, you can reach out to me. God is love. Whatever you do, don't forget to worship. Don't forget to praise the Lord. I thank you all for in the chat room. I see you, Emerald Rose 7, Gen X. I see you, guest 7692 and guest 7705. Love True 888. WTPN Media, God bless you all and keep you all. Power of Forgiveness with my sister, Evangelist, out of Atlanta. Jennings, God bless you. We look forward to coming to Atlanta. She and I are going to be doing some things in Atlanta together. So God bless you and keep you. We also have an appointment coming to Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, in that area. So God bless you. Until we meet again, remember, let's stay in worship. Let's just worship the God that we serve. And remember, this is not about us. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. Regardless of what you're going through, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, regardless of what it looks like. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. I'll be right back. God bless you.
Hey, thank you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And he won't prosper, no, 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 no. Ain't what a word. Say no weapon. If I could get somebody to stand with me tonight and declare that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon formed against your home. No weapon formed against your children. Say,
ain't what a word. No weapon formed against
just it. It's sickness.
Come on, you can say it. Now praise the Lord like you're crazy. Let me tell you why. Because see, while you're clapping your hands and the devil is wreaking havoc in your home, this confuses the enemy. That's because you're not praising him because of what's going on. You're praising him because you know the outcome is you win. You win because your heavenly Father is getting ready to jump up in this.
You win. You win. We win. We have the victory. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you have not met the friend, the Father of all fathers, the heavenly host, I ask you to repeat after me. Oh, Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you are the creator of all creation. I believe that you gave your only Son that he may die on the cross, that to cover my sins, to bring me back to you, that I may have a right to the tree of life, to live eternity with you. I accept you in my heart. I accept you in my life. I accept, believe, and receive you. I confess with my tongue that Jesus is Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for me. Amen. And if you just prayed that prayer, congratulations, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. And just get in touch with us. I'll be more than happy to. Any way I can help you, strengthen your walk. We will win this. Victory is ours. You made an important step right now. Don't stop. Your salvation is secure, but it's things that you need to do now to grow in God. Get in a Bible teaching church. Hallelujah. He has given you the tools. He's given you your Bible. Get a Bible. If you need one, let me help you with that. He has given you the Holy Spirit. Let me teach you how to evoke the Holy Spirit that's within you. And he has given you the church as your companion. And let me get in touch with you. We'll get online together. We'll do whatever necessary to try to find a church in your area that's for you. God bless you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is Evangelist Von Dumas saying good night, remembering all in prayer, remembering David, remembering Monique and Michael, remembering Mickey. We remember you in prayer. Remember my whole team and anyone working under me or over me. In Jesus' name, may they all be set free from any bondage. And dear Father, may it reveal and be replaced with richness and wholeness and health and strength in Jesus' name. Remember, if you are weak, say you are strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the ones who are lost say, I am found in Jesus Christ. I have a new relationship with Jesus Christ. God is God of all times. And before we leave, we just want to remind you that this world is not about you. This is not about us, but it's all about Jesus. So let's get excited. This is an upbeat song that we leave with because we want to get excited. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. We should shout about that, huh? All right. I love you. God bless you. Try and let me be saying good night.
If you can't know that it's not about you, but that it's about Jesus Christ,
God.
died for you and got up for your sins. He loves you tonight. He wants to hear from you tonight. It's about Jesus. We didn't come here to look at you. Here we go. Hey, and it's not about us. And it's not about.
Not about us. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I can't look at my situation too deep, because I have to remember it's not even about me. It's about Jesus. So let me just keep on doing what I'm doing. It always works out for Jesus. So hallelujah. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. God bless you. Bye-bye.